Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can neither perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our risen and ascended Lord, dear fellow redeemed, when will things get back to normal? We've all begun to ask ourselves this question, and others like it. Will life ever return to normal, to the way things used to be, or will there be a new normal in the days and months and years ahead? Those who are optimistic would like to think that things will eventually return to normal, and many of us will fall back into the same old ruts. We will happily or unhappily go back to the way it was. I can't help but wonder if Jesus' disciples ask similar questions after the resurrection. They all, both male and female disciples, thought that they had lost their master and teacher. Their far from normal lives had suddenly come to a screeching halt when Jesus was condemned, died, and was buried. They must have wondered, what now? But before they could fully digest the loss, he was alive again. He appeared to the women on the way back from the tomb. He appeared outside the tomb to Mary Magdalene. He walked up behind the Emmaus disciples, and when they recognized him, disappeared. He appeared to the disciples the evening of the first day of the week and then disappeared again. He appeared a week later for Thomas and then was gone. He appeared in Galilee and was gone again. It happened for 40 days. Was this going to be the new normal? Jesus appearing and disappearing at will? Were things ever going to return to normal, to the way they had been before, traveling with Jesus, listening to Jesus, and learning from Jesus? Maybe. Things would dramatically change the other direction, and Jesus would reestablish Israel as a world leader on earth. Actually, they had just finished asking Jesus a question about that very thing as they gathered around him on the Mount of Olives on the 40th day after the resurrection. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the new normal that you have in mind, Lord? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to establish your own kingdom here on earth? Lord, tell us more about the future. We want to know. Jesus said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, it's not your business what plans the Father has for Israel. They were not to be concerned about the future of Israel, but their own work and future as his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Then, as if in answer to their thoughts and their questions about an earthly kingdom of Jesus, the Savior lifted up his hands and blessed them, and then ascended into heaven. He was gone. No, strike that. He wasn't gone. And he would never, ever leave them again. He would always be as near to them as prayer. He would never be far away, for he had promised them what he has also promised us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He is not gone. He is not visible and not forgotten. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, in my anxiety and loneliness, I turn to you. You have promised me that you will never leave me or forsake me. You alone can give me calm and strength to face the troubles and challenges of each new day. Wrap your everlasting arms around me, and turning me to your word, teach me to be unafraid. Hold me up and teach me to follow as you lead me through life. Bring me at last to the safe haven of the Father's house which you have prepared for me. Help me to remember that when alone, you are always with me. Amen. It's been said by many a teacher that there is no such thing as a stupid question. Well, that is debatable. There are stupid questions. Nevertheless, it's important that we ask questions and find the answers to those questions. When the disciples asked Jesus if he would then restore the kingdom to Israel, after all that he had said to them and taught them about his kingdom, it bordered on a stupid question. Jesus' immediate reply wasn't the answer that they were looking for. But what happened next was most certainly an answer. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. We note that Jesus didn't suddenly disappear. This departure wasn't like the disappearances during the 40 days between the resurrection and the day of his ascension. The evangelist Luke is the only gospel writer to describe the event and to clarify its meaning. He tells us that while they watched, Jesus was slowly taken up into the sky until a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus ascended into heaven because his work on earth was complete, finished. He had been sent by the Father to live a sinless life, to be credited to sinners by faith. He was sent to lay down his life for sinners, to make atonement for sin. He spent 40 days preparing his disciples to be his witnesses to the end of the earth. He even told them to stay put in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them with power. And then he led them out to the Mount of Olives near Bethany and ascended. The work of salvation was complete then as it is today. Jesus left nothing undone that you or I have to complete. Everything necessary to obtain sinners or heaven for sinners is done. And so Jesus has withdrawn his visible presence from earth. He rules all things in heaven and on earth for the benefit of his people. All that remains is for Jesus' people to get the message out so that the Holy Spirit may do his work of convincing, converting, and enlightening. And it's for that very reason that two angels were dispatched from heaven to nudge Jesus' workers into motion. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, I imagine that when we return to regular face-to-face worship, we're going to want to stick around afterward and talk. We haven't seen one another for 2 months and more. We're friends. We're going to want to get caught up and become reacquainted. We won't want it to end. We can understand that. Mary Magdalene wanted to hang on to Jesus at the tomb for the rest of her life. Simon Peter wanted to erect tents to spend more time rubbing elbows with Moses and Elijah on the Mountain of Transfiguration. On the Mount of Olives, the disciples stood there, looking intently into the sky, hoping for one last glimpse of Jesus. They would see him again. We will see him. That glorious day when his ascension is set in reverse, and he returns the same way as he went into heaven. He will come again visibly to judge the living and the dead, and to forever deliver us from the bonds of sin and death. It's interesting that the evangelist Luke does not tell us anything about the reaction of the disciples to the angels. It doesn't say that they were greatly afraid. It doesn't say that they bowed their faces to the ground. The angels didn't begin by saying, "Do not be afraid." Whether they were surprised or not isn't told us. But be assured, they listened carefully to the words of the angels. And we should carefully listen to their words because they reveal important truths that some today deny. First of all, it was the same Jesus, the man who appeared and disappeared during those 40 days, was the same Jesus. Wasn't a spirit, wasn't a ghost, it wasn't an angel. It was the same Jesus in flesh and blood, but glorified. He confirmed it, for as he ascended, he lifted up his hands in blessing to them, and they caught one last glance of the pierced hands and the receipt of their redemption. He was taken up into heaven. He wasn't playing hide and seek with the clouds. He had ascended into heaven as he told Mary Magdalene on the day of his resurrection. The Gospel of Mark reports simply that he was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. He there is exalted to the highest position in the universe, where he rules all things for the benefit of his people. And finally, he will return from heaven the same way. He will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He ascended into heaven visibly. He will return from heaven visibly. Jesus' departure was noted by angels, and when he returns, he will be accompanied by angels. He departed among the clouds. He will return upon the clouds. The ascension is a foretaste of his return. Now, very often when someone we love departs, whether by plane or car or death, we're sad. We don't like to be separated from those that we love. But notice Jesus' disciples didn't fall into depression after the ascension. We note their response and the results because this too is how we should live in these days between his ascension and his return. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Let's clarify something right away. It wasn't the Sabbath day. The 40th day after the resurrection was, in fact, the fourth day after the Sabbath, the day that we know as Thursday. In fact, this coming Thursday is the 40th day after Easter. On the Sabbath day, the Jews were to refrain from work. They would travel no more than 2,000 paces. A Sabbath day's journey is not a marker of the day, but of the distance from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. But we aren't only to note how far they walked, but their attitude in returning. It's reported in the Gospel of Luke, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." They returned from saying goodbye to Jesus, knowing that they hadn't really said goodbye to him at all. They returned with great joy. They were no longer sad. They were no longer afraid. They didn't hide out in the upper room behind closed doors, but we're told they were also continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. The same men who had run in Gethsemane and hid on Easter Sunday came out of their hiding places. They came out to praise God for sending his Son to save. God willing, in a few weeks, we too will come out of our homes to again praise God for sending his Son to save. But we don't have to gather on the corner of 6th and Ohio to have great joy. Jesus is neither confined to that place or to heaven. He rules all things for our benefit. He is with us every day. He has enlisted us to go out to speak of what he has done. We don't have to be afraid. Jesus holds the keys of death and of the grave. And we note that when they did gather again in the upper room, they did so with one mind in prayer. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. So too we will once again gather to offer up prayer with one mind to our gracious God. It's comforting to pray together, not because it's more powerful, but because it's a reminder of our spirit-created unity based upon agreement in Scripture. And we also know that our prayers, offered up in the privacy of our own homes, are also heard and answered by the same Jesus. He is not gone. He is simply not visible and not forgotten. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.